Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Karina Cry, Kumasi on Love, 99.5 FM. We are live in all 16 regions. We are on Kekeli Radio in Ho, Pad FM in Dalmongo, Radio Y in Y, and Bedarin FM in Bumkrugu. We are on live on X Spaces. We are on Facebook. The Midday News is sponsored by Petrol Soul. Your clean fuel in full quantity. Petrol Soul is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDPE pipes and water tank. We are the only water storage tank with a level indicator, and where Duroplus goes, water always flows. This afternoon, one person in critical condition and more than five cars crashed after heavy rains and strong winds wreak havoc in parts of Accra, flooding homes, shops, toppling banners and uprooting trees.
My son called me on the phone that I should leave there because the building is collapsing.
Details as Ghana Fire Service works around the clock to deal with the danger posed by the situation. Also, woes of the Ghana city deepening as it continues its free fall, hitting 14 cities to a dollar. Experts are warning the worst has not even yet come.
By the end of the year, if we continue in the same trajectory, we don't do anything drastic to change the situation, we may end up at it.
Well, details as the city slumped lead to higher prices at the pumps, as a liter of petrol is now beyond 15 cedis.
Within this very window in May, the first window in May, we could see another fuel price adjustment simply because the city is having a poor run at this time.
Also in this package.
In the era of Doom CSA, which is profoundly different from Doomso. Doomso, as inflicted on Ghanaians, has only happened His Excellency John Dramani Mahama's governance.
This afternoon, frustrated Ghanaians bare teeth at Energy Minister insisting power outages are still rife despite claims that the problem has been resolved.
It's not doing CC, it's doing so. We get power of 4 or 5 times a day.
Is it not doing so? What are they CC doing the night? The same people you think they are damp. The same people will go and vote you. After you get the power, then you think they don't have sense.
And then there will be Doomsaw Diaries today. We'll tell you how the erratic power supply is crippling the grooming industry as professional barbers can count their losses.
It hasn't been easy. Since the Doomsaw intensified, I mostly go home empty-handed with no money to provide for my wife and child.
And their sports.
Ghana FA President Kettle Kwaku will remain in office as Court of Arbitration for Sports throws out George Freer's re-election appeal.
And much later, rallying call on young prospective first-time voters to put their civic responsibilities above their consideration. That's coming up in just 10:18. That and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. Many thanks for your company. Let's dig in now. And one person is in critical condition after a tree fell on a Toyota Land Cruiser and a motorcycle at the Switchback Road in Accra. Following the short but heavy and windy rains this morning, at least five more vehicles were also destroyed in another incident with many billboards toppled. The sudden downpour, accompanied by strong winds, wreaked havoc in several parts of Accra, leaving residents grappling with the aftermath of flooded homes. Emergency services are responding to the situation, providing assistance to those affected and working to clear debris from the roads. My colleague Benjamin Akapo has been monitoring the level of destruction in town and joins us on the line with details. He's been monitoring after leaving the AM show. He joins us on the line. Thank you very much, Benjamin. Let's start from the person in critical condition. What are we learning?
Well, according to the director of Parks and Gardens, when we got to the Switchback Road, he said this person, earlier in the morning at around 6:30 a.m., he was trying to negotiate past this Army Land Cruiser, and that was when the tree fell on them both. He is in critical condition. He is at a 37 military hospital receiving treatment. Now, what happened was that when the tree fell on the vehicle, thankfully, because of the height of the Land Cruiser, it didn't fall completely on his motorcycle. but he was trapped there for a while until the officials from Parks and Gardens came to saw off the tree and then take him away. So he's currently receiving treatment at the 37 military hospital. At that point, they are also still clearing the road on both sides. And when I spoke to the director of Parks and Gardens, he mentioned that some of the trees in that vicinity might have to be taken off because their roots have been cut off by certain buildings. But I'm currently MFR at the Ghana Airport Company Limited, and opposite the landing restaurant, the car park there. In fact, some trees are falling too. When I spoke to the Ghana National Fire Service, they indicated to me that at least about 10 vehicles have been affected. I'm looking at some of them now. I'm looking at a Toyota Vitz vehicle. I'm looking at a Nissan vehicle as well, and so many others. I can also see a Highlander vehicle here, all of them badly damaged by many fallen trees, about two or three trees. But I also have here with me the Assistant Divisional Officer, Grade 1, of the Ghana National Fire Service Headquarters PR. He's going to speak to us and tell us what exactly has happened here.
Hello, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. What's your name, please?
My name is Alex Kenyati. I'm with the Public Relations Department at the Ghana National Fire Service.
So since you've been here, I mean, what exactly have you seen that you can talk to us about?
Well, this is obviously a security zone, so most of the information can't be let out, but it's just it's a natural disaster of a sort with trees falling on some of the cars. So the Ghana National Fire Service is here trying to help, along with the Parks and Gardens, trying to help cut the trees and then make sure that no one is trapped under the rubble of these cars.
So no one is injured here?
So far, we've got no one injured. I think the only are the Parks and the Switchback Road Italian Embassy area.
All right. And that is the Assistant Divisional Officer interacting with me there. So back to you, MFR, from the teams here, we're still ongoing. The Ghana National Fire Service and authorities from Parks and Gardens are cutting the trees into lumber so they can cut off. But I can report to you that many, many cars have been destroyed here at the car park of the Ghana Embassy.
That's the host of the AM show, Benjamin Akakpo there. Well, my colleague Semefa Kpesu is also monitoring the situation in other parts of the city. Joins us now. Semefa, tell us where you've been and what the situation is where you are.
Right, I'm about at the time the team arrived at Tesano. The first from the police training through to the FM was covered with bad water, but gradually it's students. Then some of these big banners erected on top story buildings at Circle Tisolin have also collapsed. And then our tower, we just around the Bible church, we have some of these high-tension electric cables also falling. But gradually, they've been working on it. It's been hours of outage by the vehicular staff, but the ECU officials are working on it. Now, at Tesco, we have some of these shop owners narrating what happened to join you. We could take a listen.
Mini shop, no tongue drink in this one. It's only Saturday, you know. As a table call, in the eighteen of them from a gentleman meeting, I know the moon said, I'm my table gram to me, Janet. Me, Janet being gates, you know, me, dear gates, and the medium kind of fancy. The fans have done the morning, who said, as I take away, I'm a ton drinking, and I'm here first, a question shop for. Shop one was in the morning, who's as I see, as soon as I see a group, you in the table on a light of the old storm music.
Now that is your door. Main door, no. A cabune, a yaggy. Intimicate and brass and barbers, a diana, a banisan, a don, yaggy. Me paper and a monse, I didn't yard yaggy form. Intimicate and brass, I didn't know no sombra, no bell.
This morning, I was here, I just parked and it started raining with tender and then the farewell. But just for a second, I heard that something was coming up from the top. So I quickly parked at the side of the entrance. And later on, my son called me on the phone that I should leave there because the building is collapsing. And you could see the size of the distance. So I think the air could not penetrate. So it forced to fall down. And we're fortunate that, in fact, by morning at this time, there could be a lot of people standing here. But we thank God that we couldn't have any cash.
Stay safe wherever you are. Meanwhile, the air quality in Accra has seen a great improvement after the rains. My colleague Michael Ashali joins me with details on the airy sensors scattered across the country. What are we seeing?
Emma, first of all, let's go to Madina Zongo Junction, which is one of the most polluted area. Where we are getting at the PM or the particulate matter readings here, it's just moderate. Usually, you have it in the red zone, higher particles, but this time around, the suspended dust and then the fumes from the vehicles, you understand that the rains has managed to clear them. So if you're in Madina, it's better for you. If you go to Agbogbloshie as well, same thing. Agbogbloshie is actually one of the most polluted area in Ghana. That again is also doing very well as it stands now. We hope that it stays that for the rest of the raining season. MFA, let me just say that this segment is brought to you by, or we are doing this in collaboration with New Narratives, and funding was provided by the Clean Air Fund. The funder had no say in the content of the story.
Thank you very much, Michael Ashali. Now, there's more trouble for the Ghana cedis, which is continuously depreciating faster and at an alarming rate than authorities expected. The cedis is currently trading beyond 14 Ghana cedis to a US dollar. The cedi is undergoing a period of considerable depreciation against the US dollar, reaching its highest exchange rate since December 2022. According to Joy Business, the year-to-date depreciation of the cedi for 2024 stands at approximately 13%. Finance Minister Dr. Mohamed Amin Adam told journalists at the end of the spring meetings in the USA that government expected the cedi to be strong against major trading currencies.
The cedi has also stabilized strongly against major currencies. This year, year to date, 2024, the cedi depreciated by just 8.3%, and this compared with 21.5% same time in 2023. The progress is good, recovery is strong, and then we are heading very quickly to stabilization, which is what we need to generate growth. Public debt trajectory as that has been improving, because debt to GDP reduced to 71.4% of GDP by the end of 2023.
But that expectation is not seen fruition. Associate Professor of Finance and Economics at the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Lord Mensah, believes the worst is yet to come.
If you look at the past, I mean, as being an economist and a mathematician as well, the past every year, the CD, penetrate a new discrete number. And this year, it's going to penetrate two discrete numbers. So we're at 13, we're getting towards 14. By the end of the year, if we continue in the same trajectory, we don't do anything drastic to change the situation, we may end up at 15. And the 15 that we went to the other time, somewhere last year, you saw a free fall of the city, and it got to 15 before, you know, the finance minister announced, you know, debt suspension, and then he came to hold it up there. That was the true level of that of the CD. If we should allow the market, you know, to determine the level of the price. And IMF, which is the last straw that we are holding on, if we, the signal on the market or indicate that we're not getting the board approval, obviously you should expect the market to react.
Well, the depreciation of the cedi is leading to higher fuel prices at the pump as well. We are told that now a litre is selling at 15 cedis. Duncan Amoah is Executive Secretary of the Chamber of Petroleum Consumers.
The very reason for which we are where we are continue to remain where they were. Sadly, the fast depreciating cedi is largely to blame for your fuel prices being at the level find them. As of the last increment, which was Friday, the city was trading around 14.02. As we speak today, it's around 14.45. And so if that trend, and of course, just opposing this again with the fact that the city also seems to move in tandem with petrol prices, and now you have a litre crossing 14 to with some OM, there's every strong indication that the city could also simply inch up to around 14 Ghana. If that happens, Aisha, we will not be surprised that within this very window in May, the first window in May, we could see another fuel price adjustment simply because the city is having a poor run at this time.
Well, talking about fuel prices, a number of commercial transport operators have adjusted their prices upwards despite no official agreement reached with government. We understand that the GPRT, for instance, is leading transport operators in meetings with the Ghana Road Transport Coordinating Council and the Transport Ministry to reach a settlement on this. Thankfully, we are joined on the phone by the Deputy Transport Minister, Hassan Tampoli. Thank you so much for your time here on the Midday News. So one wonders what's causing the delay in agreeing new transport prices.
Thank you very much. So it's true, we met the transport operators last week. And the negotiation was inconclusive. Principally because, in the first place, we have indicators that we use to trigger a review of the transport fares, whether to take it up or bring it down. Now, after the last time we had a meeting, when we checked, the prices of petroleum products hadn't gone up to an extent that...
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You have to trigger upward review of the lorry fares. Don't forget, the last time prices of petroleum products went up to 23 cities, lorry fares were lower. Now I'm not sure whether there is even any reason why lorry fares should go beyond what it is right now when prices are still lower than 23 Ghana cities. I'm not sure whether if you do your own mathematics, you can come to any conclusion that there is need to review upwards
But to the extent that this is the fourth inconclusive meeting, and also at least if you're checking on the ground whether you agree with them or not, there's an increment in the prices of transport as we speak.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that by the convention that has been established over decades, we have to trigger a review. So the leadership of the transport operators are aware that any increment in lorry fares presently is unlawful and then unjustifiable. There's no justification. And if you ask them, they will not be able to justify why we should increase lorry fares currently. So we are still in negotiations with them, and we stand by the position that what it is that we want to be objective, and we want to do things that will protect the commuting public and also give them good returns on their investments. We do not intend to let the transport operators work in such a way that it will, you know, amount to abuse of the commuting public. That is not what we intend to do. We want to be independent, impartial arbiters between the commuting public and the transport operators.
It may be unlawful. It may be unlawful, like you're saying. Well, Mr. Tampoli, you may say that it's unlawful. We may sit on radio and say it's unlawful. But on the ground, it is happening. As we speak, even in Kumasi, drivers and passengers are fighting over these new transport fares. How then are you protecting the commuting public, like you say?
There's a mechanism that the leadership applies. If the leaders have not published any lorry fare indicating the lorry fare from point 1 to point 2, or A to B, then there's no justification. And the leadership are aware. So the transport operators across the country would normally wait until their leaders publish the lorry fares. Accra to Kumasi, Accra to Tamale, Accra to Enugu, Accra to Paga, Accra to Abidjan, and so on and so forth. Until that is done, any lorry fare will be unjustifiable.
So I shouldn't pay if I'm told in a trotro that they've increased the fares. What happens?
As it is right now, I'm not able to support any passenger who pays what is not justified, especially when the rule that has been in existence for God knows how long is that when these negotiations are made, we will find. And then the leadership will now publish the lorry fares from point to point for the benefit of the lorry, the transport operators, and then for the commission public.
Okay. Mr. Hassan Tampoli, we are grateful. That's the Deputy Transport Minister, Hassan Tampoli, there. Subsequently, we'll get to hear from the transport operators themselves. But some frustrated Ghanaians vented their rage at the Energy Minister this morning, owing to the power outages still ongoing. Despite claims by government that electricity supply issues have been addressed, many across the nation disagree as they continue to grapple with blackout, fueling the anger. The Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempeh, answering questions before the Government Assurances Committee in Parliament, said what was happening is Doom CSA and not
Doom era of Doom CSA, which is profoundly different from Doom So. Doom So, as inflicted on Ghanaians, has only happened as characterized His Excellency John Dramani Mahama's governance. He is the only president on record that for 4 years that he reigned, for 4 years that he ruled, for 4 years that he governed, there was Doom, 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 Doom. If the non-partisan colleague says that now it's worse, then I don't know where his relatives lie.
But the ongoing outages have sparked widespread anger, with many questioning the effectiveness of measures government claims to have put in place to resolve the challenges. Some of them bear their anger at the minister on the Super Morning Show earlier.
Somebody stop doing so. Just come and buy fuel for the people to work. That has become a problem. But people will get money to fly in the sky and buff on us.
It's not doing CCA, it's doing so. We get power of 4 or 5 times a day where I live. Energy Minister, he's not just rude. He doesn't respect anybody. And if he's the running mate, ever chosen as a running mate, forget it. Ghana is doomed.
Last night it went off and it came after 12 midnight. This is what I'm going to. It goes on and off. Is he not doing so? What are they CCA doing the night? The same people you think they are damp. The same people who go and vote you. After you get the power, then you think they don't have sense. If you want to feel comfortable as a politician, so make your people feel comfortable.
And you will not even have the courtesy of apologizing to Ghanaians. And my God,
we, our kids and ourselves, heat rushes all over our body. Give us timetable to plan our days in our food stamps, getting waste. And Napo has that, in fact. To be frank with you, my brother, if they said this guy should be the one that is going to be vice to, what's his name, Baumia, then MPP, it means that you signed your death warrant.
My working capital has gone down. I've lost my $8,000 oxygen machine. Unfortunately for me, you know, where my business is situated, my fish farm is, and then my main office is. It's like I've drawn a timetable for myself because I know for now, at my office, there's light out.
Well, it's time for Doom So Diaries. Kenneth JC has today's edition. Doom So. Doom
So. Doom So. Over the past few days, we've witnessed stable electricity supply across the country with no load shedding reported anywhere. Yesterday.
That was President Akufo-Addo during his speech on the 1st of May. A day after the president's speech, the news team visited Achimota Mile 7, a community in the Greater Accra region, where, like many parts of the country, Doom So is rampant. When the team got there at 4:10 in the afternoon, their lights were off. We caught up with a Baba who hadn't had light since he opened the shop in the morning of that day.
The Doom So is very intense here. I have not been able to work since the week began because of Doom So. The light went off a few minutes after I opened my shop at around 7 a.m.
Henry Jache is a family man. He has a wife and a newborn baby. As the breadwinner of his young family, Henry tells me the financial difficulties he faces back at home due to the erratic power supply.
It hasn't been easy. Since the Doom So intensified, I mostly go home empty-handed with no money to provide for my wife and child. I usually call some close friends and relatives to send me some money.
As it stands now, no one knows when this issue will come to an end. For Joy News, Kenneth Jesse, Accra.
That's our Dumso Diaries, or should I say Dumsiesie Diaries, taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News, here on Joy 99.7 FM, in Accra, and Kumasi on Love 99.5 FM. One person in critical condition and more than five cars crashed after heavy rains and strong winds wreak havoc in parts of Accra, flooding homes, shops, toppling banners and uprooting trees. That's in our top story. When we return, we have sport, and then we focus on Just Turned 18, rallying call on young prospective first-time voters to put their civic responsibilities above their considerations as the EC begins the registration of newly qualified voters.
Oh, I'm very excited actually, because I get to also have the opportunity to vote and select the leader.
Now I have the opportunity to use my time to bring someone into power.
This is the Midday News, sponsored by Petrosol, your clean fuel in full quantity, and Duraplus. Where Duraplus goes, water flows. Time for sports, Mubarak.
Yes, MFA. So the Ghana FA president, Kete Okrekwu, will continue to lead the football governing body until 2027, following the Court of Arbitration for Sports' decision to dismiss George Ifeanyi's appeal for re-election. Muftar Nabila Abdullah has the rest of the story.
The Court of Arbitration for Sport agreed with the Appeals Committee of the Ghana Football Association's decision to disqualify George Ifeanyi from contesting for the position of president of the Ghana Football Association, based on the grounds that the Ghana Football Association nomination form is a standard form that has a requirement for only five candidates. The Court of Arbitration for Sport also fined Mr. George Ifeanyi 1,000 Swiss francs, and that all legal fees that the GFA incurred during these processes, George Ifeanyi is going to pay that. The cost of arbitration to be determined and served separately to the parties by the CAS court office shall be borne by George Kwesi Ifeanyi. George Kwesi Ifeanyi is also ordered to pay the Ghana Football Association a total sum of 1,000 Swiss francs as contribution towards the legal fees and other expenses incurred in connection with this arbitration.
That's my colleague Muftar Nabila Abdullah with the details.
Let's get into the election headquarters now. Headquarters is made possible by Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity, Sima, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, Sima AICPA, and Sima together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, and the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness, and Beauty. And in the next 12 hours, persons who have turned 18 since the last voter registration exercise will have the opportunity to legitimize their right to vote by registering as a voter. Ahead of that, there's a rallying call for the newly qualified voters to put their civic responsibility above other considerations. We'll get to hear from the NCCE and the Youth Bridge Foundation in that shortly. But first, listen to Joy Prime's Lois Adeyemi interacting with these young ones in our special series titled Just Turned 18.
For these young Ghanaians in Jamestown, reaching the voting age means more than just a milestone. It is their ticket to participate in shaping the future of their country.
Oh, I'm very excited actually, because I get to also have the opportunity to vote and select the leader.
Now I have the opportunity to use my time to bring someone into power.
That will give me the chance to also voice out on the person to lead us. Yeah.
People will now be seeing me, engaging me into political activities in my community.
These prospective first-time voters are not only excited about registering, but they are also motivated by stories from family and friends who have already participated in elections.
You have to go there early. People usually use chairs, stones to queue. Yeah. So, like, when you go and meet those stones and chairs there, they'll be expecting you to stand behind those chairs and stuff.
While the majority of first-time voters eagerly embrace the opportunity to participate in Ghana's democratic process, there are a few who remain hesitant or even adamant about registering. Nevertheless, their collective influence cannot be understated.
As I was going